splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, but it trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. We sing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God.
God and three. Stand before you this morning, and I want to give a special thanks to Dr. C. Paul Willis and also his son Dennis for giving me the opportunity to share with you a bit about America. And as I share my testimony, this story is really about you. Not so much about me, but how we as Americans are. And I want to talk to you about American exceptionalism, because I don't think it's talked about enough. This picture that you see here is February 2nd, 1960, where you see four people sitting at the counter of Woolworths. And for me, this picture represents the dawning of a new day in America. A time when America was going through, and I thank God that we passed the test. And we find ourselves today again going through. And a question that I must ask you today, this morning, is what price are you willing to pay for freedom? For there's a price that you must pay, and you must pay it in full, and you must pay it up front. We in America are very, very blessed because of our values that we have in this country. And before I begin, I want to give honor to all of our veterans, especially those that have gone on and paid the ultimate price of their life for our freedom. And I also want to give recognition to two members of our congregation. One, a brother in Christ that has gone on, who is Art Pearson. And any of you that knew him saw the price that he had paid, because he was born with two arms and he left this earth with one because of the price he paid. The other one is my brother, Melvin Henderson, and he's not in here this morning. He's over helping count the money. But the price that I saw him pay for the freedom of his country. He left our house one way and he came back another. He was shot with an M16 rifle, or with a rifle, and the bullet went straight through him. He was hit by a hand grenade and still causes him problems today. Also frostbitten. And as I was in the back and the pastor and I were talking, and one of the things I shared was that we need to get past this thing called color. Some of us are still holding on to it. And I see the pastor on occasion get up and struggle trying to paint a picture for you, and unfortunately some of those in the audience see him as being prejudiced. But that's not what he's doing. And we need to gain sight of that and understand that what he's trying to do is share with you the reason why he founded this church the way that it is. And some people have walked away, both black and white, that did not understand. Because, see, color is of least importance. The question is, Jesus posed this question to his disciples. And the question he posed to them was, one of the questions was, who do you say that I am? Well, I want to ask you that question. Who does God say that you are? Because it's important. Because you cannot know who you are until you know who God is. For he has told us in his word who we are. We are his creation. We were formed from the dust of the ground. And so many of us are caught up in this thing called color. Not just whites, but blacks also. How light is my skin in compared to my brother? That's one of the things that in the old days, where you had the field servant and the field slave and the house slave, this thing was used. And I'm here to tell you this morning that dirt is dirt no matter what color it is. We need to judge a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. America is what it is because of the ideas that we have in this country. When America was formed and founded, we not only became a nation, but we became a country in the ideas of minds all over the world. Because formed and framed in our Constitution, or in our Declaration of Independence, where we find in the second sentence probably the most famous sentence in American history. We find these words: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among those being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Find me another country. Find me another country that has those unalienable rights. And so we in America are looked at differently than other countries. And each one of us should be proud to be an American. America has been a country wherein that we've had some challenges. None greater, believe it, than the one we face right now. Because our freedom is being challenged like no other time in this country. Where we're losing our freedom. And unfortunately, most people are not aware of it. We have what is known as a bigger government and smaller people. There's no shortage of revenue in this country. It's an expansion of the spending of our government. We need to understand that we are the government, and they represent us and they work for us. And we need to move those out that need to be moved out and move those in that need to be moved in. And until we do that, we're not going to see a change. Unfortunately, a lot of people that look like me do not recognize that. They vote one way. It is not about Democrat or Republican, it's about what the man stands behind. And I say this to you. No person should be an elected official in this country that does not know how America works. We don't have a blank checkbook. Dennis talked a few minutes ago about the challenge we have in this church. He can't write a check that the church can't cash. But our government continues to write a check that our country can't cash. And we're running into problems right now. And we need to make some changes. That's why I ask you, what price are you willing to pay? It's time for you to stand up and be counted and stop complaining. We need to stop complaining and start asking more questions. And the question is, does that person that I'm voting for, do they represent me? Other people come to this country for the opportunity. And all I hear all the time is complaining. And pastor, even in the church, it's too hot. It's too cold. The music's too loud. Well, I have a hearing aid in my ear and I wish I could hear the music better. It's unfortunate that we always see the glass half empty as opposed to half full. We have so much in this country to be thankful for. We should be thankful that we can come together and worship God, because there are those countries that can't do that. And we should be thankful that an event such as the one that you saw on the screen occurred in this country, because it was able to be to occur. And one of the things that the pastor and I was talking about is that slavery is slavery no matter what is black or white. And the founding fathers, as they began to research and look at what they wanted our country to look like, believe it or not, they were under the slavery of King George III. Taxation without representation. The people crying out and not being heard. The same thing is going on in this country today. Our government does not hear us. Well, I'm here to tell you, we got to make them hear us. One of the books that I have here, and I recommend that everybody get this book, and it's called The Patriot's Toolbox. And it has in it 100 principles for restoring our freedom and prosperity. It's not what we know or what we don't know that hurts us. It's what we know that just ain't so. We We believe in things because we hear so many rumors. And I say to you, the things that are important to you, you must be able to substantiate or repudiate those statements. One of the things that I enjoy about this church is that Pastor C. Paul Willis is always challenging me. He always has me doing research because I'm an avid reader. But at one point in time that I did not understand this country and what it means. Even when I sat down at that counter, now I sat down at that counter because it was something that needed to be done, not because of any notoriety that I wanted to receive, but because I understood that all men are created equal. And so as I sat down at that counter, now you have to remember that we were under the unwritten code of law called Jim Crow. When, in the course of human events, we find ourselves being governed by the rule of men rather than the rule of law, we, as a democracy within a republic, must stand up and initiate our sovereign rights to make a change. Amen. I stand before you and tell you now in America's time to make a change. Yes. One of the things that I want to share with you is out of this book called Tortured for Christ. And I don't think that we as a body of Christ, as the body of Christ, or a part of the body of Christ, know who we are. And it says in here, we have discovered that in this body, victory, courage, resilience, and tenacity know no borders, no skin color, no nationality, but are given equally to all by the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that when God looks at us, he doesn't see us as black or white. Without the Declaration of Independence, where would the Constitution be? Without the Constitution, where would the amendments be? The First Amendment, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. Without the Constitution, without the Declaration of Independence, and when we look at our amendments, and we look at the first article in the Constitution, and it says that I, as a human being, when they wrote the Constitution, was 3/5 of a person. And I've heard throughout my life people being very angry about that. And I asked him, have you looked at the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, where it was changed? Because had we not had the Constitution, we would not have that change. And we would not be able to sit together today as brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what the color. So my question to you is, are you willing to pay the price to make a change? On February 1st, 1960, a shot was fired that was heard around the world. It was the beginning of a civil rights movement that changed the course of history. It was when four students walked in and sat down at the counter of a Woolworths. And it was not anything unusual, except that these were four black students from North Carolina A&T State University, who dared to sit down with an unwritten code of law called Jim Crow forbade them. So the question becomes, why did these four Moses, if you will, these four Daniels, if you will, these four Hebrews go into the lion's den of, the fiery furnace of, the very heart of segregation? to tell old Jim Crow to let my people go. To challenge the rule of law over the rule of man. Because our unalienable rights are not tied up in what the government says that you are, but what God says that we are. Because our power comes from God, and we lend that power to our government to represent us, not the other way around. They spend money in Washington, D.C. like it's water. Can you imagine if you did that with your checkbook? As I sat at the counter starting the second day, and it was because a friend of mine by the name of Ezell Blair, who changed his name to Jabril Kazam, invited me to come and sit down with them. And I did so with no hesitation. And the question has been asked of me, why did you do that? It is because I had the good fortune of knowing that there was no difference. I do believe in what's in a name. When I was born, I was named after my father's best friend. And this was in 1941. And his best friend was a white guy. And that set the tone for me to be a part of the bridging of the gap between the races. And I ask you this morning, what is your destiny? What did God call you out for? Because you're not here by accident. You're here by purpose. And it'd be a shame if your family looked on the wall of the family and they saw, all they saw there was a blank frame and not a picture of you there. And they have no evidence that you ever lived on the face of this earth. It's not how long you live, but what did you do while you were here? Each one of us was born to make an impression upon, or leave an impression upon this earth. Unfortunately, there are those of us that live in bondage all of our lives because we're afraid to step out. We're being held prisoners of our own mind. A prison that has no walls. It only has lines. And those lines represent fear. And we dare not step outside of those lines because we're afraid of what someone else will say. And if you do the things that you fear, the death of fear is certain. It's one thing that we as members of the body of Christ should understand is that we truly walk by faith and not by sight. You see, fear and faith do not mix. Because God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we should understand that we are all in the same boat. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And quite frankly, I do not understand people that talk bad about America. If something needs to be changed, then you should become a solutionologist and not a complainer. You should resolve in your mind that you're going to help work toward the change that needs to be made. That's what we did when we sat down at that counter, not knowing what was going to happen. And from that, it was 4 on the first day, and it became 6 on the second day. On the third day, the Ku Klux Klan showed up. We still sat. Through bomb threats, through being spat upon, through being called all kinds of names. Because we knew that we had certain unalienable rights. This thing called life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we need to understand what those things mean. Every person on God's earth has a right to life. They have a right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness, not that someone gives you happiness, but that you pursue it. You have a right to pursue happiness. We are losing our freedom. One of the things we're losing our freedom is based on a thing called entitlement. What is entitlement? I saw my father with a third grade education, worked 6 days a week, went to church on Sunday. I saw him work for himself and not for anybody else. I saw him use the gift that God gave him. Never went to any kind of school to be a mechanic, but yet I saw the dealerships in Greensboro bring cars to him that their people that had their certificates on the wall could not repair, and I saw him repair those cars. I saw him interact with the races as if it was nothing. See, my father is truly my hero. I didn't always understand that. When I was a child growing up in Greensboro, one of the things that my father shared with myself and my middle brother, because my oldest brother at that time was not living at home, was that during this time we had no TV. But my father was a mechanic, and he worked, rented up space in a garage from a guy by the name of Colin Marsh, who was white, and became my father's best friend. And I can remember like it was yesterday, my father's friend inviting us to his house, my middle brother and myself sitting on the floor, and my father and his friend sitting in a chair, and my father's pulling for Joe Louis, and his friend's pulling for Rocky Marciano. And they were friends. I can remember the first 2 years that I lived in Greensboro, living in the black neighborhood, and then the next 6 years living in the white neighborhood where there were four houses, where they were surrounded by whites, and the kids coming to my house and playing with me, the white kids, and their parents didn't know where they were. See, the difference was not being made by the kids, but by the parents. See, prejudice is a thing that's taught. And we need to understand that. So as we sat at that counter, what we realized is that we were taking our lives in our own hands. And it was much like the Patriots back during the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, where they were actually signing their death certificate. Some of them lost fortunes. Some of them lost lives. And I can just imagine how they felt, because they wanted certain rights, the right to worship the way that they chose. See, there are those that are even that among Christians that think that Christianity it binds you, but it doesn't. Christianity is the thing that gives us more freedom in America than anything else. Because the Constitution doesn't say that you have to be a Christian. It says that you can worship whoever you choose to worship. And there are those in this country that are trying to change that. There are those in this country that made it their life's purpose to go to veterans' funerals, those that have been killed in some of the wars that we're fighting, and picket those burial ceremonies. It's a shame and a disgrace, because these people that have died have paid the price for them to be able to do that. It's such an irony. Yeah. Yeah. It certainly is. You know, one of the things that we have in America is we keep trying to take God out of the equation. The Bible says no matter where we go, God will be there. Even if you make your bed in hell, he'll be there. So where can you go to hide from him? And we continue to try to do that. It is time for us to again become that beacon of light that we always have been down through the years. Now, has America made mistakes? Yes. Slavery, And segregation was horrific. But here is the bottom line. The truth needs to be told. Find me a country. Find me one country that had their beginning before the 1800s that did not practice enslaved trading. So it's not just America that did that. It is the whole of the world. But thank God America got it right. That's what is known as American exceptionalism. And I hear people saying that we're no longer a Christian nation. I beg to differ. Because that's what we are. We are a country that has principles of liberty that we live by. You see, had it not been for that, then the movement of 1960 would not have mattered. Because what it was an expression of a people. It was 176 days of a people sitting down to stand up. It was 176 days of a people crying out, freedom over me, and before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home with my Lord and be free. It was 176 days of people crying out, give me liberty or give me death. And all in the name of freedom. See, without freedom, we have nothing. We have oppression. See, when Abraham Lincoln signed and freed the slaves, a lot of slaves went back into slavery because they did not know what freedom meant. Today, many of us are going back into slavery because we do not know what freedom means. And that's a sad commentary on us that we would try to go back to Egypt and become slaves again. When we have this great opportunity to make a difference in the world. When we have this great opportunity to stand up and be counted. See, a lot of us are apprehensive and afraid that some foreign power is going to come in and do damage to us. Folks, I'm here to tell you it's not the foreign power, it's the expansion of our government. That's our biggest challenge. You know, I look on TV and I see people picketing because of their pension plan. Picketing because some of them have to be laid off because of the way the economy is in America. But folks, I'm here to tell you, if it must be done, it must be done. Ask that person that's going through. See, our government cannot create one job. Not one job. It's the private sector that creates jobs. So if we in America would give those that do the hiring the incentive, guess what? They'd hire more people. It's not more taxation. That's not the answer. It is to produce and become a more productive country. It is time for us to go back to work and stop trying to farm out to other countries everything that we do. There are those in our federal government that have committed us to slavery to the Chinese. I mean, every night I get in bed, I not only get in bed with my wife, but I get in bed with some Chinese. There's nothing wrong with Chinese. But based on the amount of money they tell me that I owe $53,000 in every household because of the money that we borrowed, and now they're talking about borrowing more money. Folks, it's time out for that. We need to stand up for the cause that we believe in. So that simply means that we have a job to do. It is time for us to hold ourselves and our government accountable for the great liberties that we have in this country. As Abraham Lincoln said, 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth in this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Are you dedicated to that proposition? See, I don't need a man to necessarily like me, but you better believe if we're in a fight against another country, I want him to defend me just like I'll defend him. That's what America's all about. It has been said, united we stand, divided we fall, and that's so true. It was on July 25th, 1960, when the first three people sat down at the counter, the first three blacks who worked for Woolworths and were served. At that moment was a moment in time of American exceptionalism. We need to understand what American exceptionalism is. We need to go back and look at some of the writings of people in our country, such as the American Creed, the symbols of America, our motto, "In God We Trust." It is time for us to look at America for what it is and become grateful that we were born in this country, that we would be able to live such a life as we live now. Because even in our darkest days, when our charters of freedom were being challenged, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, America passed the test. Because when we sat down at that counter, we were testing all of those charters of freedom. We were testing whether or not those were just words on paper. And we found out that they were not just that. Every one of us sitting in this room, everyone all over America and all over the world, were born with potential within us. But unfortunately, the greatest amount of potential is over in the graveyard, where people died and did not live up to what God made them to be. And I challenge you to find out what your potential is, to release that potential so that you become a part of change. It does not have to be a history-making event. I can remember as a child growing up, going to downtown Greensboro with my mother and walking in the FW Woolworths and going downstairs in the basement and seeing two bathrooms, one saying colored and one saying white. Seeing two water fountains, one saying colored and one saying white, but the same water coming out of both fountains and wondering what the difference was. And I've heard all throughout my life that it was in the South that we've had prejudice. Well, folks, I've lived in various places, and I've been called the N-word even in the North when I lived in the North. So it's not a particular area in our country, it's in the heart of a person. I will never forget leaving Greensboro and moving to Maryland and walking down the street and somebody yells out the N-word. And living in Columbus, Ohio, and my middle brother sitting back there, when I told him I was moving to Columbus, Ohio, he told me that I didn't want to move there because he had been stationed in that area. And me being a little thick-headed, I thought to myself, that didn't say it to him, who do you think you are to tell me where I need to move? But I found out when I went there. And you know, my middle brother, Javan Henderson, spent 4 years in the Navy. And he's told me some of the stories of how he's visited foreign countries and how he saw the kind of freedom that we have in this country that he did not see in those countries. And yet we complain all the time. If you want a revolution, you got to be willing to make the change. This church here is representative of what God's heaven is. Because there's no color in heaven. God sees the inside, not the outside. We spend far too much time being concerned about what we look like on the outside and not fixing what's wrong on the inside. Because if you want to know what a person looks like, find out the spirit of that man and that person, you will find out what that person's all about. I see even us come into this church here and we sit in the same seat all the time. How can we find out who our brothers and sisters in Christ are in within this church when we have a favorite spot that we sit in all the time? I see people walk into this church and they won't speak. And I'm wondering, man, is your problem that bad? And I see those that complain about our pastor, that he doesn't socialize as much. That's what he has elders for. Do you remember Moses? And when he was fighting a battle, and he had his armor bearers on each side holding his hand up. I said to you, you who are elders in this church, when are you going to hold the pastor's hands up? Dennis, you gave me the pulpit. I see elders in this church that come in and sit down. And people are coming in the back of the church, never coming here before, and they're not standing back there to greet them. I don't understand it. I see people that are hurting in this church, and our elders do not approach them to find out how they can help them. That's separation, folks. I see Brother Bill Knuckles be back faithfully every Sunday, and not just him, Larry Jones also, greeting the people as they come in. That's what we're supposed to do. It is unfortunate that Sunday is the most segregated day in all of America. And that's, we call that God's Day. That's ironic. That's really ironic. So we need to do some introspection. We need to look at ourselves from within and see if we need to do a paradigm shift where we begin to see ourselves differently than we've seen ourselves before. Because we all have a mission. God is waiting for the body of Christ to move in one accord, not them going in one direction, others going in another direction. And a lot of times we're sitting waiting on God and God is waiting on us. It's just as Moses was standing there with the stick in his hand, his staff, and God, he cried to God, and God says, why are you waiting on me? I've already given you everything that you need. We have already been given everything that we need. When the storm of life comes upon you, do not turn away from the storm. Turn toward the storm. Go through to the eye of the storm and you find calm and you see things that you've never seen before. Too many people are running away from instead of going to. I hear people talking about the devil's after me. I don't understand that. If you're a Christian, how can the devil be after you when he's under your foot? Amen. And you heard Dennis talking about the finances of this church. I'm here to tell you that it's because Satan does not want the word of God that's coming forth in this church. He's doing everything he can to try to prevent it. Yes. But I stand before you and tell you that the cathedral of his glory will prevail. Yes. It will prevail because of people like you, that you know and you see what's going on in this church. The empty seats that you see in this church is not because the truth is not coming forth. It is because the truth is coming forth. And God is separating the wheat from the chaff. So we need not be concerned about the empty seats, because God has taken care of it already. And Pastor Paul, you have people coming in that will not be looking to criticize and see when they can leave, but they'll be coming here because they see the need to come, because there's a word coming forth that's coming from God. And so we need to gather together and become more of members of the body of Christ. We need to go back and read this Constitution of the United States, which says, "We the people." The Declaration, and see the republic for which we stand. We are a country that is under attack, but we are a country that will prevail. Yes. We need to understand that when it's all said and done, it will be God that makes the changes. Yes. But we have been called to stand on the wall and occupy until Jesus comes. We have not been called to withdraw and weep and moan and complain. Instead of crying about what is going on in America, begin to pray over what's going on in America, even for our government officials. Because in the word of God, it says, if my people who are called by my name. And we must all pray and humble ourselves and repent. And God will hear from heaven and heal our land. I'm going to ask each one of you, even though Dennis stole a little of my thunder, to stand with me and repeat the Pledge of Allegiance. If you would stand, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, with liberty and justice for all. If you would have a seat, please. God has made each one of us a vice regent on this earth to reflect his sovereignty. He has given us dominion over this land. Not dominion over another person, but over this earth. Because no man has dominion of another. We have laws and rules and regulations that says to each man, each woman, each boy, each girl, that we need to self-govern ourselves accordingly. And America would be a much better place. And so I ask you to join me in the fight for freedom. It may cost you something, but if it's not worth dying for, it's not worth living for. And so I thank you for this time to be able to stand before you and share with you my story. And the time that I have been allotted does not give me enough time to share with you all the things that I've dealt with. This thing called fighting for freedom has followed me all my life. I left Greensboro and went to New York. And it followed me there. I was there in New York when the riots were going on. I was managing a shoe store on 125th Street. I came back. I went into the military, came back to Greensboro, and started and completed my degree at North Carolina A&T State University. And the riots broke out over there again. It's always been a part of me. Not by anything that I chose to do, it's always called me out. The question that you need to ask yourself is, when you are called, will you answer? Because many are called, but few are chosen. Now, chosen because they don't answer the call. It's not because God picks you out. It's because you refuse to answer his call. Look at Jonah and the fish. He called and God ran, and God kept chasing after him. And God's still chasing after you right now. So I say to you in closing that even though I fought what I believe is a pretty good fight, I still run the race. I still seek out the calling of our Most High God. I'm still working on me. I'm still trying to get better. I'm still learning. I'm still fighting the good fight of faith. It's time for us to join together, get beyond the color, and really sit down and have talks among each other and take the chip off of our shoulders. Thank you.